Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Welcome to Primates, the podcast that explores primates in popular culture from Chimpan A all the way down to Chimpan Z. I'm Matt Stewart, I'm your host, and I'm joined, as always, by my very trusty second banana. He's also the host of the gaming show Gaming Game, which is about gaming games. It's Evan Munro-Smith.
Hello.
Welcome, Evan. It's good to be in the monkey house with you.
Yes, indeed.
We're now getting cracking, really getting into the meaty business for season two of the Umbrella Academy.
Yeah, it's such a they really hit the ground running with this season.
Yeah,
not at all like the first season. Everything's happening.
It's a lot going on.
Yeah,
and I'm loving every minute of it.
Yeah, it's great.
It's so good. So this episode, episode two of season two, is called the Frankel footage, and we'll get to why it's called that shortly. But the synopsis on Netflix is: an incident at the bar leads Luther to Vanya. Five finds an unsettling surprise in the film Hazel Left Behind, and the cops come after Allison's husband.
Hmm.
So, I guess the... So the surprise film that Hazel left behind was something you didn't even notice happening in the first episode.
Yeah, that passed me by. I mean, so much was going on at the start of that episode as well.
That's true.
It didn't even clock to me that he'd passed something to Five.
Even I was not thinking it was going to be a film either.
Yeah, no, so, I didn't. Well, when I picture a film, like a film, I picture like a Hollywood film canister.
Yeah.
You know, like a film magazine sort of thing, not like it's like a... it looks like it'd be like full of like a box of Polaroids or something, not like a...
Yeah, you know I mean? Was thinking when they were going to get compact. It processed during the episode, I thought that's what it was going to be, photos.
Hmm.
Yeah, it looks like the size of an old computer disc.
Yeah.
Maybe it could fit three floppies in there.
Yeah.
If you're really pushing it. Anyway.
So
this episode starts with a flashback to a bit of season one, where we see the handler, Chelsea Handler, getting... No, her name's not Chelsea. It's just the handler.
Yeah, she doesn't have any other name. Could be Chelsea.
It could be Chelsea. Let's assume it's Chelsea.
Sure.
So Chelsea Handler is shot by Hazel, our man. Oh, not for that reason. I mean, geez, Louise, I'm not saying... If you're new to the show, the handler's like it was a baddie and she was trying to kill people, so...
Yeah.
Hazel was, you know, it was self-defense, your officer. Your officer? I'm mixing up the Your Honor and the officer there. I panicked. Right. I don't do well in stressful crime situations.
So we thought that Hazel shooting her in the head, as unlikely as it seemed, we thought that was it for her.
I reckon at the time you even said, that we thought she was dead before.
Yeah, well, she never came back. I expected that she would come back to life, and then she didn't. But wait, we see her now. Still with a bullet hole in her head. A couple of dudes are taking her in to be cremated.
Hmm.
And one of the dudes is like, I think I saw her move, and they're like, it's probably just gas escaping or something like that, And then she said,
she whispered, "Get me to the hospital." And he said, "You think that was gas as well?" That's good stuff.
Yeah, so she is not dead. And we see some text on screen 3 months later.
You caught that.
I caught it this time. Yeah, yeah, got it. We see that she's seems to have recovered 100%, and she's back at the commission.
And she explains why she's. Well, everyone's sort of whispering, like, "Oh, the handlers! Oh, it's the handlers back!"
Yeah,
and yeah, it's sort of a bit strange. So it feels a bit eerie, and we're not sure why. Then she gets in and she talks to her boss, who is a fish. We have not seen this character before, have we?
I was surprised.
This seems like a whole leap to another thing.
Yeah, yeah. This is pretty wild.
Everyone else who works for the commission's been a human so far.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's quite a leap to a goldfish.
Yeah, it's like a human body with a fish bowl for a head. This man's name is AJ. And I guess it is the goldfish.
Yeah, it's the goldfish because we see the goldfish's lips moving.
Oh, right.
When he talks. So, and then he smokes and he's sort of coughing and blowing smoke rings. So it's on in a fishbowl on the top of, I guess, a robotic body. So yeah, there's quite new questions have opened up there. is every animal sentient in that way? I guess all animals are sentient. What does sentient mean again?
The sort of aware of the surroundings and their sense of self and stuff.
Oh, okay. So maybe goldfish don't have that normally. I'm not sure.
No, possibly not.
this is a real basic one. That's a very, very much a yes or no thing, and I don't know which one of those two options it is. But anyway, so yeah, that was a bit strange. But it is it's like the thumbnail for the series on Netflix.
Yeah, it's an image that I've seen before, but that's why I was like, have we seen this guy before?
Yeah. It feels like you would have seen the boss before. But anyway, she goes, "You're not firing me, are you?" And he says, "No, of course not. You're demoted." And she got quite a big demotion back to sitting at a desk with a typewriter. Turned out to be Five's old desk.
And yeah, she just was furious. Rub salt in the wound.
Yeah.
Yes, love a bureaucracy. There we also see this character, Herb, who's the one that sort of shows her to her desk. A very short man.
Yeah, and he used to work under her. Yeah, she said, I think she made a joke at it. That was about him being short, was it? Because she said she's done bigger turds than him.
Yes.
And he says, someone needs a bit of fiber in their diet. Which, this is a bit of fun.
Yeah, maybe she's just got problems in that way. Because remember when she was pissing last season?
Yeah.
That was a bit weird.
That was it was a full-on piss. she's been replaced in the job getting Five. So she's like, give me two more days. And he's like, you've already been replaced. And I guess we assume that's the three blonde men from episode one.
Who are the replacement?
Have replaced her on the job getting Five, right?
Right. Yes.
They said, you've already been replaced. And then later in this episode, they get a tube with Funya's photo in it. So it's like, oh, they definitely work for the commission.
Yes.
Because it was still a bit unclear because they've been weird.
Is there like a new handler though now? Oh. Or is she still the handler? That's her name.
I think that seems to be I don't know. Maybe it's the handler the position.
That's what I assumed it was, was the handler at the commission and and that there would be a new handler now, but I'm not sure who that would be.
Right.
But I guess her job was to deal with Five and in that way, yes, it seems like. Those three weirdos and maybe the replacement on that particular task.
Just before they got the tube through from the commission with the old school message in it saying, kill Vanya, they were playing a game where they were throwing knives at each other's legs. And I'm like, they're not humans. But they work for the commission. So maybe they are. It's hard to tell.
Well, I mean, you were saying last week that you thought maybe they weren't human, that they were like pretending to be or that they clearly they're not normal people.
Yeah.
But I guess we can get to that a bit more later.
Didn't it say the Swedes? I couldn't quite, I was squinting, but so, Swedish people are humans. Or maybe that's just their nickname.
No, I think that's fair to say.
I guess maybe if aliens lived in Sweden, they would also be Swedish.
That's true.
If you think about it, so good point. Well made.
It's interesting that they say like 3 months later she's recovered, but like 3 months from when she got shot, and how that bears no relation to the time zone that the or the year rather that everyone else we're following is in. And also the commission seems to exist sort of out of time.
Yeah.
So I don't know why they bother saying 3 months later.
Yeah, well, I mean, 3 months to her makes sense, but it is weird that she's been missing from the committee. Why doesn't she? That's all time traveling to them. Why doesn't she just go back to the day she left?
Yeah, I don't understand. It's all very complicated.
But now, do we explain that she explained why she's not immortal, like I was starting to believe, but she said she was saved by the metal plate that was put in from an earlier job. So she just got lucky.
Yeah, which is pretty amazing, really.
Yeah.
It's quite a coincidence. Yeah.
Back in the 60s, like it's 63, right, is where we
are. Yeah, it'll be 63, yeah. October 63.
Five still hanging out with Luther at the strip club that Luther's working at. And Luther's like, honestly, I'm just not interested in being involved. He says something like, you're always saying, he goes, I just told you the apocalypse is coming. He said, you're always saying that.
Which is true. I think that's fair. But yeah, so Luther's already got a job. He's the bodyguard for the guy that owns the club.
And we now know who he is. They explain who that is. That's Mr. Ruby, maybe Jack Ruby, is it? And he is the guy. It was explained by Five. He's the guy who kills JFK. I Googled it once he said that. And that's a real thing. He's a real person.
Oh, right.
Jack Ruby.
So he kills Lee Harvey Oswald?
Yeah, he kills Lee Harvey Oswald when Lee Harvey Oswald is in custody.
Yeah, wow, okay.
And then Ruby was awaiting he got found guilty and then appealed, and while he was awaiting his appeal, he died of cancer in jail.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, so, and there's all these conspiracy theories about that, about how it's connected to the JFK killing. If it was a cover-up, Ruby himself said that he was just so angry and upset that JFK had been killed that he was, I guess, getting vengeance. But other people think it might have been something else, like he was killing Oswald so Oswald wouldn't talk about the real story or something like that.
Yeah, right.
Mm.
Ugh. It's fake news, man.
Anyway, that's a side note, but it's interesting they've inserted this real character in there. Well, I guess they've already inserted JFK.
Yeah, it's starting to sort of weave in with, but we can't infer too much from that because they seem to be in these sort of alternate timelines, yes. So we're not really sure. Yeah, you can't make any assumptions about what's going to happen, I guess. So also at the club, Carl, you pointed out last week, it is Carl who's sort of drinking and being a bit of a dickhead at the club. The wife of Sissy, the family that Vanya is staying with. So,
husband
so this guy,
of Sissy.
Carl, the husband, yes, that's, yep, the right way around. And so he's drinking too much, being a hassle. Five notices in his pocket that Hazel slipped in this thing. So that's when we actually see what it is, and it says Frankel footage written on it. And so the Vanya's at the family house, and they get a call from the payphone. Carl's calling to get picked up because he's drunk. He can't get home. And here we find out that Sissy says to Vanya something along the lines of, I don't know what we would do if we didn't hit you with the car, sort of thing. So I guess we can take from that what we saw when she landed, her getting hit by a car, that family then took her in and sort of looked after her, which is a nice thing to do.
Yeah, which I think we kind of assumed already, didn't we? But I guess that just confirmed it.
Yeah, I didn't... I wasn't sure how she found her way to that family, so right. It's interesting. Just that apparently is just it was them that hit her in the car, and Vanya offers to go pick up Carl from the club. So what else is going on? Diego and Lila, so they've escaped. They escaped at the end of last episode from the the big house as the Swedes went in and opened fire.
Yeah, so Diego was in there because he was found to be he was found to be plotting to kill Lee Harvey Oswald, basically.
Yeah, he was found outside Lee Harvey Oswald's house planning to stop a plot to kill the president, which of course sounds insane.
Yeah.
Obviously he was put away for that. So he's met this woman, Lila, a fellow inmate at this asylum/prison sort of a situation. So they escaped together at the end of the last episode. So now they're sort of getting on their way. Lila is being a bit of a bad influence because Diego kind of just wants to go on his way and she's kind of hanging around.
But she's also been quite helpful, right? I mean, he wouldn't have escaped if it wasn't for her.
Yeah, that's true. So he's tolerating her, I guess, in that regard. And she hotwires a car for them to get away, go do their stuff. Then we see that Vanya arrives at the club to pick up Carl sort of reinforces this idea of her having memory loss. He says she's lucky to have a blank slate. She can sort of start over because he's obviously feeling that his relationship with his wife, Sissy, they're on the rocks a bit there.
He's not loving his life. I mean, yeah. He feels like the main reason for that. But anyway, he's not being the best guy, I don't think. I'm just working late when he's actually getting drunk at a strip club and annoying a mob boss.
Yeah, and it seems that Sissy kind of just knows that anyway, like because she didn't seem terribly surprised that he was calling from a club rather than the office or whatever.
One thing it also cleared up was because you had some doubt. Well, we were discussing how maybe Vanya was using amnesia as a cover story just so because she didn't want to have to explain she was a time traveler to this family. But it seems like Luther spots her in the car because he's working at that club she's picking Carl up from. And she just looks blankly, unless she's a very good actor.
Yeah, no reaction at all. Yeah. They see each other. Luther obviously is pretty surprised, but Vanya doesn't react at all. So that, again, either she's a great actor or, it definitely seems at this stage that she genuinely has no idea who he is, which is interesting. So we also see here, so Allison and her husband, Raymond. So they're, last time we saw them, they were at a meeting, for some like a political action sort of a situation. They were organizing a sit-in some guy came. So this was in a salon, I think, from memory. And a guy comes up to the salon and gives him some trouble. And Allison hits him? Is that what happens?
Yeah, in the first one. When she swings his arm behind his back and kicks him out onto the street.
Yeah.
It's pretty light. Basically, she's just like, get out of our shop, you know, which...
Yeah.
Hey, what? The guy that she booted out was being an ass clown, so it was sort of...
It all seemed a fairly reasonable reaction, really.
Yeah, that's right.
But nevertheless, things aren't fair in the 1960s, and so the...
funny how this bullying guy and goes whinges to the cops. What a, you know, like, a real tough guy. I'll show you...
The police think that it was Raymond that assaulted him. So maybe he didn't say that a woman beat him.
Yeah, good
maybe
point.
He's like, no, it was the other guy. So they think that Raymond is guilty of this assault, and so they arrest him. And she goes to use her power. She says, I heard a rumor. And as a cop has a gun pulled on her, which is pretty full on, I mean, to begin with.
And she takes ages to put down the baseball bat. I'm like, please put down the baseball bat. It just felt like, especially back then, but probably even now.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be, just don't take those chances.
Yeah.
She knew she was just following the script. She knew that she wasn't going to get shot.
She's a good actor. Well, yes.
I mean, they, you know, I guess they know exactly how this whole season's going to play out in that way.
I'm talking about the actual actress.
Yes.
Yeah, not the actress.
Allison. Well, she's playing an actress.
Playing an actress.
Which, is that a harder job or an easier job to act as an actor? I mean, it's layers.
It is definitely layers.
But maybe she, I mean, she could just be herself in a way.
Yeah.
Because she knows how to channel acting because she's doing it already.
Yeah. But in this situation, she's not really playing an actress. She's just playing a person named Allison.
She's playing an actress who's gone back in time and is now living a different life. So
yes,
she probably
can't. An off-duty actress.
Yeah. So maybe there's not that much of her own life she can use in that, unless she's a time traveler.
I don't know much about her at all, actually, the actress who plays Allison.
Yeah, I wonder if she has ever time traveled. Seems unlikely. Mm,
I would think so.
Yeah.
So she says, I heard a rumor, and the cop's eyes sort of like glaze over, like his pupils disappear sort of thing. And she, you know, she's about to say something, probably something like, stop pointing a gun at me or don't arrest Raymond. But Raymond's like, no, it's fine. No, not that he knows what she's going to do or anything, but he's just like, it's fine. It's not, you know, don't make a big deal out of this sort of thing.
Yeah. He talks her down but she was so close to doing it because she said the words and the cop's eyes went all white. He was ready to be magicified.
Yeah. He was magicified. Yep.
So her name,
she refrains.
The actor's name is Emmy Raver Lampman. It's a cool name.
Okay.
And looks like this might be maybe her biggest work, but I just read before that she was in Hamilton, but I'm not sure what version.
Yeah, Beck was saying that actually. Apparently she can sing good.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know anything about her time travel abilities.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Hamilton was set a long time ago, so.
That's true. Yeah. But I think the version she's in is the modern retelling.
Right. Oh, yeah, great. She wasn't actually there in Hamilton.
Not in Hamilton's life.
Okay.
As
far as we know.
So we see, there are hints as all this is happening. We see sort of glimpses of the Swedes, the three weirdos that are mysterious at this stage, but they're sort of watching.
I'm so curious about what these guys are.
Yeah, they're fucking weird. Probably the second most weird thing after the goldfish that talks.
Yeah. So they rock up to a house, knock on the front door, and a woman opens the door and she says, if you're here for the room, that's only for one person.
Yeah.
And we don't see how that interaction goes on, but we do see them later on in the apartment throwing knives at each other, being weird people. And then
a little hint at how that played out.
Yeah, they go to the fridge. One of them goes to the fridge, opens the freezer, and the landlady's head is in there, severed.
Mm, yes.
Yeah. Which is why are they keeping the head frozen? I mean, apart from just to reveal to us that they definitely killed her, in case we didn't figure that out.
Yeah. Yes, I don't know. Mysteries.
Where's the rest of the body?
That's another good question. Maybe it's somewhere else.
Oh, yeah, I reckon it probably is. That's a good point.
Okay, so Five he's discovered this Frankel film, and he goes to his conspiracy mate, Elliot, to ask him to help him develop the film. So this is the guy that was taking photos of the Academy siblings as they arrived in the 60s. So he's obviously, you know, he has the technology to take photos and develop film. So he gives that job to him.
First, he scrubs out the date, though, because that would give away that it was from the future.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. That would be confusing. And Five, the police radio there, and Five hears on a radio that what sounds like is probably Diego is in a bit of a chase. The police are trying to chase him down. And Five's like, well, it's Diego. And so it goes off to find him and finds him. Again, trying to save JFK there, presumably outside Lee Harvey Oswald's house again.
He's explaining the plan to Lila.
Lila.
Saying that all he's going to do is cut off his trigger finger and tell him to leave town. And Lila's like, Lila's like, that's a bad plan. That's not...
Just kill him.
Just Just
why don't
kill
you
him.
Just kill him? He's going to kill the president. Just kill
and
him.
And he said, I'm not going to kill a man before he's committed a crime.
Yeah. She said, what is this, Minority Report?
Then she said, what if he's ambidextrous? Anyway, yeah. He was not enjoying that talk very much, Diego. I feel like it possibly would have just been enough for someone to go around to Lee Harvey Oswald's house and say, hey, I've seen the future. I know what you're going to do. It ends badly. Leave town or else, right? I don't know much about this Lee Harvey Oswald guy.
Yeah, I guess so. But no one really knows. Well, I mean, I certainly don't know as much as other people, but I don't know what his supposed motivation was. I don't know if we ever knew what his motivation was.
Right.
So I guess with that information, we don't know you don't know what's going to turn him away or how, is he just sort of on the fence about killing the president and just decides to do it that day? Or is this something that he's been planning for years and is hell-bent on doing this? But yeah, you would think that in either case, if you gave a hint that you knew what his plan was and you cut off his trigger finger and told him to leave town, that'd probably do it, I reckon.
Yeah, it feels like it.
But five rocks up in the car, pops up, puts a dampener on their plans. He threatens to turn them into the police, which Diego knows is a serious threat. So they bail on that and they go with five, because five obviously has more important things going on and needs a hand with this whole apocalypse.
At some point he's going to be able to say, I've got bigger fish to fry, when he's talking about going to kill the boss.
Yes. Yeah, looking forward to that joke. that'll be sweet.
It's going to be so sweet. We'll be high-fiving.
Alison goes to the police station. This is the day after after Raymond was arrested. She goes to the police station to find her husband. And we see that Klaus is in the lockup. And there's a guy, I think his name is Kichi. A guy recognizes him as like a guru or a cult leader of some kind, which I think is something you mentioned before. He certainly looks that part, but we don't really know what's going on there. But clearly this guy is like a follower or a fanatic of
he's sort of
Klaus.
Starstruck by him almost.
Yeah, yeah. And Klaus gives him some words of wisdom. What is it? Don't go chasing waterfalls. Stick to the what
the
are the lyrics
and
of
the
that
lakes
song
that you used to?
Yeah,
which I think is a Paul McCartney lyric, which I only found out vaguely recently.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, he had a song called Waterfalls as well.
Yeah, right. And that was that not in the 60s, I guess?
No, it wasn't in the 60s. It was a solo.
Would
thing.
Have been after that. Yeah, right.
Sorry, if you want to, let me get the lyrics here. Because, yeah, I'm not sure if that is direct things. It says, don't go jumping waterfalls. Please keep to the lake. People who jump waterfalls sometimes can make mistakes. So I think TLC probably zhuzhed it up a little bit.
Yeah. And that's the version that Klaus
gives. It feels like that. I mean, it's pretty close. So you can see the inspiration there, though.
Yeah.
Please keep to the lake. Yeah.
So Klaus is in lockup. Do we know why Klaus is in lockup? They were walking to Dallas last... what happened? He was with Ben? Did something happen in the last episode that meant that he got arrested?
I can't remember. Yeah, they were wrestling on the...
Oh, they steal a guy's keys and they end up in a bar fight.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We saw them... They took the keys and we saw them, the cops pulling them over in their stolen car.
There you go. Okay, so that explains that. So he's in lockup, and also so is this guy Raymond, and they get a talking, a little bit, not too in depth. They're talking about Shakespeare and I don't know their sort of philosophies.
Talking about it because Klaus misquotes the heavy is the head that wears the crown, or whatever that line is, and what's the other guy's name?
Raymond
corrects him, whatever the real The real quote is, and then they start talking a bit of Shakespeare.
Yeah, because Raymond used to teach it. Is that what you said? Something like that.
Because Klaus was saying that people look up to him or whatever, and then Raymond gave him the one about greatness being thrust upon you quote.
All right. Yeah, so but that conversation is cut short because Klaus is released after a call from the governor, which is interesting.
Yeah. And he says he'd never met the governor personally, but something about wealthy benefactors or something.
Yeah, something cryptic like that. So we're getting a few little glimpses into what Klaus has been up to the last couple of years while he's been kicking around in the 60s.
Yeah, it's sounding like he's got a scam going.
Yes.
And the way he talked to the guy in jail made it sound like he was no longer enjoying having people following him.
Yes.
Because didn't that guy who came in say that he quit his law firm to follow him?
Ah, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, I think maybe. I think he said he sold his law firm to follow his teachings or something.
Jeez. Oh. imagine doing that and then being in jail and coincidentally the guy that... Yeah. The leader of this cult or whatever is also in jail with you.
Because he was in jail for handing out pamphlets. So you wonder if the pamphlets were Claus pamphlets. Like if he was spreading the word of Claus.
Klaus.
Damn it. Surely I would know his name by now. He's my favorite character.
Yeah, as we've said. Okay, so Five gets back to this place with Diego, Lila... Diego and Lila with him and Elliot is there. The conspiracy guy that Five's been sort of hanging with, and he has a rifle at them and he's demanding answers about this footage, right? And suddenly we're like, well, what is this footage that's got this guy so riled up?
Yeah.
They disarm him, and they watch the film. It's from 6 days from now. And it is indeed footage of JFK's assassination. However, the footage seems to show Sir Reggie.
Yeah.
A young Sir Reggie.
Not super young, but younger.
Yeah, well, you know.
He looks like he's
middle-aged.
Who
knows how old he is.
Yeah.
We don't know how old he is.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, not like a child.
No.
But yeah.
But not even like...
than he was.
It's not even like 60 years younger like he should be. But maybe he is.
Yeah, well, yeah, but, yeah. Again,
I guess when you're wearing a top hat and a fancy sort of eccentric goatee, although you wouldn't see it as eccentric, you're probably always going to look a bit older than you are, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was fascinated by this. So this is why the episode's named the Frankel Files or the Frankel Tape or whatever it's called.
Footage.
Yeah. Footage. And I thought, oh, mate, is this like a mythical, is this a real... lost tape that people talk about, but it seems like it is a fully fictional tape. The actor at the start of it, who I guess is the Finkel guy, and I'm guessing he's going to turn up later because it was, you know, he was doing a home video and then the assassination happened. So that's, I'm guessing why it's called the Finkel tape. But that guy's very recognizable from other shows and stuff. So I bet you he turns up as a character because I guess this is all probably leading up to that day, right?
Yeah, let's track down Finkel.
Yeah.
Yeah, sweet. Okay. So that was all very, very interesting. Also high stakes situation. Luther has tracked down Vanya, at the house that she's staying at, and he has a snub nose revolver, in his pocket.
What does that mean?
Well, it's a gun.
How do you know it's snub nosed? It's like, that's like sawn off or something.
No, it's just a short, barreled revolver.
Why do you know all these gun terms, Evan?
I don't know.
Your parents are worried about you, mate. Is this from video games? From gaming games?
Probably, yes.
I've never heard that term before.
It's a snub note.
But yeah,
But you know about sawn off rifles, though, do you?
Yeah, I've never heard of sawn off shotguns for sure.
Okay, all right.
The reason he's led there is because he finds Sissy's husband's wallet there. Carl,
yeah,
let's call him. Yeah.
Yes, his name.
So when Luther took him out of the club for being drunk, he dropped his wallet, and then Luther later found it. So he knew that that's where Vanya would be. Also gave him a great excuse for being there.
Yes.
When I was like, oh, shit. How's he going to talk his way out of this?
Yeah.
Because he gets in and he talks to Vanya first out in the barn out the back. And
yeah, and this is where we see that she genuinely has lost her memory.
Yeah.
This is the moment.
Would be
it's like
some of the finest of all time if she's still acting.
Yeah. So this is, and because Luther doesn't believe it
to
begin with, he thinks she's bullshitting, but yeah, she's complete. She has no idea who Luther is, Luther kind of takes the opportunity to explain how he regrets. How she was treated. He apologizes. So I guess it doesn't mean a whole lot to her without having any context for that.
Because she apologizes to him
makes
first.
Him feel a bit better. Yeah, she's like, "What did I do to you?" So sort of a nice little scene there, I guess.
And then Sissy comes in.
Pulls a rifle on him.
Her son's in there as well, and then. Sissy comes in and pulls a rifle and says, "What are you doing here?" And I'm like, "Oh shit, how's he going to talk his way out of this one?" And then he pulls out the wallet. He said, "I'm just returning this wallet." And then he holds it. I love this shot, Evan. Can you explain to me how this shot works? It looked like she was standing quite a way away from him. And then he was able to reach back and hand her the wallet. It was just like, it made the depth look like she was standing much further back than she actually was. And I'm like, "Oh, that looked cool." But maybe it wasn't that cool. Maybe it was just me being confused by the depth of the barn.
It didn't jump out at me, but I want to have a look now. But we can keep going in the meantime. So
she accepts that story. He hands the wallet over. And then Sissy says, "Well, next time you come around, use the front door." And Vanya's saying, "Oh, geez, I'm trying to figure out how I've... know this guy." And Sissy's like, "I don't think you know him." And Vanya's like, "Well, he was apologizing to me." And Sissy goes, "Guys around here don't apologize to women for anything. So if he's apologizing to you, he must have done something pretty bad." Which is weird logic. Like, it's taking a logic leap, isn't it? There?
Yes. But she's also just trying to make her feel better, I think.
Yeah.
Is that what's going on?
I think
on?
She's also just trying to not get her involved with that guy. She's like...
Well, yeah.
She's trying to protect her, I think. Yeah. She sees Luther
she's
as
like,
being
"You're
a bad
nice.
Guy.
You wouldn't,
even though Luther
you
is
wouldn't hang out with guys like that.
A real sweetheart.
I found this shot. I don't think there's anything especially special going on other than it being... You're right. It does look like they're further away, but I think they're using a wide-angle lens... fairly close up to them, which exaggerates the space between them.
Were they? This whole scene was shot in the golden hour. Would I be correct in saying that? The outside part of it.
Yes. Yeah. When they show this house, it's very sunbathed. It looks beautiful.
Yeah.
Like it looks like a painting.
So
it's,
nice.
You know, it's like a almost like a dream sequence, sort of a classic. It's
just dripping. A
I'm
lot.
Sure there's some. I'm sure there's some imagery that we're, you know, you could read into that for sure.
She's living her dream
it's,
existence, having forgotten her
whole past. Yeah,
well,
it is. It's like it's a new beginning. It's a new start
for
her, where she doesn't have any of the troubles that she used to have. And she's happy. She seems happy with where she is. And then Luther rocks up. And she's still happy because she can't remember anything.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So,
and this is then when we see the Swedes get that message from the commission, confirming that they are commission workers. Because I think we kind of assumed that last week, and then as they were being weirder, I was like, oh, they seem so different from Cha-Cha and Hazel that I thought maybe they were working for someone else again. But we were even thinking they might have been
Soviet. It's a different kind of person to see from the commission.
I don't. Have they said a word to each other yet?
No. They delivered some milk.
They let their snub-nosed guns do the talking.
Now, Evan, I know
snub-nosed monkeys. If you talk snub-nosed monkeys, I understand. Snub-nosed monkeys are the ones that have to bend over in the rain because they don't have a nose to stop the water just going straight into their nostrils. So they sneeze a lot. And that that has meant predators do find them easier.
Oh, poor guys.
This is from an episode quite a while ago, but I think I'm remembering that right. It's good to squeeze in a little bit of primate talk here in the middle of this episode.
Remembering,
of course, that Luther is an ape man.
He is an ape man, although at the moment it doesn't seem to have much bearing on things. So that scene happens with the Swedes playing with knives. So one of them gets stabbed in the leg and doesn't react at all, which is it makes it seem like, I mean, he bleeds and stuff, but
it's like,
doesn't seem too bothered by it.
It feels to me like it's someone has they're non-humans in human bodies. You know, it's got that kind of feel, like they're just playing around to see what it's like. They're not used to having a human form.
Mm.
Something like out of Men in Black, you know?
Yeah. it's like a cockroach
operating
them from the head.
Yeah.
So they get the memo and it's got a photo of Vanya. And so that seems to be their new mission is they've got to go take out Vanya, which is a worry because she, she has no way of defending herself because she doesn't realize she's in danger or has any powers. But, although Sissy has a rifle.
And the interesting thing, which I hadn't considered at all, is she's not on the meds that she was in the first season.
That's true.
So these powers might come to her in like a stressful moment.
Yeah.
Although they haven't so far. A few guns were drawn in this episode and she was still pretty placid about it all.
Yeah. You know, well, she's just not a stressed out person.
That's true. She's living the farm life now.
Yeah. So back to Diego and Five. They've seen this footage and they're looking at it. They think that Sir Reggie might be who killed JFK. I guess the footage is not conclusive, but they see that he's there at that time. And they're wondering why did Hazel give them this footage? It must be because that is their dad, right? They're trying to work out what's going on, basically, and they think that if that is actually their dad, and it certainly looks like it is, then he's there. Like, this is 6 days from now. He's there in Dallas in the 60s, and so they have this bright idea to look him up in the phone book. But there's no Hargreaves in the phone book. So they look up his company, which we saw in a flashback in another episode. Was it the start of
the last episode?
The previous episode?
I think the last episode when he came to when he first came to town and he bought the umbrella shop.
Oh, it was the start of episode 10.
Yeah.
The start of the season finale. Okay. So
after we saw him open a jar of light, which I still is the biggest question in my mind. What was that jar of light, Specs?
Yeah, he's definitely getting more
Where's
mysterious.
Where's he from? Who is he? Is he related
How
to the Swedes somehow?
Can he time travel?
Feels like he must be able to time travel.
So, yeah. Anyway, his umbrella manufacturing company, DS Umbrellas or whatever, is listed in the phone book. They find that. And so that's where they go. Also here, I don't know if this is, I guess, some character development for Lila at this time. She doesn't seem to have much bearing on things at the moment, but she's starting to have second thoughts about escaping from the big house because all this time traveling footage and murdering presidents is making her feel a little bit like she's going crazy.
Yes.
Which is fair enough, but Diego talks her down from that.
I'm curious about her character, whether it is just she was just someone getting treatment where Diego was and she's coming along for the ride, or if she is somehow connected and that's just not clear yet, you know what I mean? Is it a...
Yeah.
I kind of hope it's not like a... Like, if it's connected, it's like, no, oh, so everyone's just connected no matter what. You know, if she's undercover or if she's... I don't know. Don't you get the feeling that...
You think she's hiding something?
Well, like I don't know. I'm wondering if she's this season's Peabody.
Peabody?
The guy who became...
Oh,
He had two names and they're both forgettable.
you're right. I can't remember either of them.
But one is...
Ronald...
His fake name is Peabody.
Harold Jenkins,
yes. Is his real name.
Maybe... Or could she be this season's Agnes?
Oh,
maybe this is a love story. Yeah. Maybe this is a happy ending for Diego. He lost someone, you know, Detective Patch last season. Maybe this is a chance for him to have another positive relationship in his
life. She does seem cool.
You know, she does seem cool. Like, a little bit crazy, fine.
She's saved his ass a few times already. So maybe that's maybe they just want to have a duo going on because everyone else is basically working separately.
Yes, that's true. Because no one
even at the moment, Klaus, he's not even with Ben at the moment.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Ben took off when things got ugly at the pub. So Diego sort of talks it down from that. Allison, she's found Raymond in lockup. They're having a bit of a chat. She feels guilty about, him getting arrested. Obviously, she was the one that did the assault. He's pretty chill about it. But he does ask her why. Why did she say I heard a rumor? What are you talking about with your rumors? You said that twice. Why did you say that? And she sort of
dodges the question. We'll talk about it later. I would have thought it's a pretty easy one to answer. You just be like, I was stressed out. I was just trying to. I was going to try and manipulate him, but I couldn't. I couldn't think of anything to say. I panicked.
Yeah.
But maybe she wants to come clean.
Yeah, I feel like it feels right for her to want to, if she genuinely likes this guy, they're married. If she sees a future with him or whatever, I think she's been in a previous life. It just got her in trouble, and I think it'd make more sense for her to just come clean about it and, you know, be honest, be open and honest.
Yeah.
Even though that would be a weird thing to hear for old Raymond. But on her way out, she sees this guy Keechee, I think is his name, that was talking to Klaus, and he's got hello tattooed on one hand and goodbye tattooed on the other, and she sees that and she's like, where'd you get those tattoos? And he says he got them from the prophet. So have we seen these before? What? So she seems to connect.
Yeah,
that with Klaus
got them on his hands.
Oh, all right. Well, there you go. I never noticed that.
There's like promo shots with them on his hands, I think. And
I don't want to look at promo shots. I'm
looking at promo shots all the time. if I've got some downtime, I'll pull out a few promo shots and just have a little look.
So that makes plenty of sense then. So she's like, what's going on here? Klaus is up to something.
Didn't you notice as well, and I only sort of noticed it in flashback in my own head, but when this guy, what was his name?
Keechee, I think.
When he goes up to Klaus in jail in the first place, Klaus goes, do I know you? And Keechee opens his hands at him. Klaus goes, oh, you know, he immediately understood what was going on, which I thought was weird time around. And then when I saw the hands later, I'm like, oh, right, gotcha.
I don't notice things.
Not text things. Text on screen you don't get, even if it's on hands of characters.
I don't read.
I don't read.
What is this, a book? Watching a bloody TV show here. Stop giving me words. Klaus. So he's been released from lockup, and he breaks into this mansion, even though Ben is there. We see Ben again, and he says there was a key under the mat. We don't really know what this place is. Everything's covered in white sheets, you know, like there's no one living there sort of thing. And then we see that there's a picture on the wall of Klaus as this prophet sort of a figure. So I guess he this was his home at one point, this mansion.
Yeah. In 3 years, he somehow got a mansion.
Yeah. I mean, he's a bit of a sneaky guy. I don't doubt that he'd take his knowledge and use it to his advantage.
Yeah. Well, he's using TLC lyrics.
Yeah. The most powerful knowledge he has.
Then we see Vanya and Sissy back at the ranch chatting about her memory loss and who Luther is. We sort of talked a little bit about before. She's being a bit annoyed that she can't recall anything. And then Sissy goes, let me read your palms. Did she say read your palms or let me have a look at your hands?
Something like
that,
yeah.
And then she's feeling them and she goes, oh, you've clearly not done a lot of farm work. She notices the calluses on the tips of her fingers, which you would have from playing violin, but obviously neither of them know what they're from. And
she's just like, I wonder what that could be.
Yeah. And then they're sort of having quite a tender moment where Sissy is stroking her hands. And then she sort of snaps out of it and remembers she's married probably and goes, I better go to bed or whatever.
Vanya goes to bed as well.
But she jumps in the car, right?
Well, she has some flashbacks to her.
Oh, that's
life,
right. She remembers the first apocalypse.
She has these flashbacks of her playing violin and her in the white.
And she can see Luther
there
in it.
Yeah.
So she jumps in the car and drives away. And Sissy sees her leave.
Yes. But we don't know where she's going at this stage. That doesn't come back around this episode.
And then the big finale.
Is
Five and Diego get to DS Umbrellas, and they're searching around the place. It's middle of the night. It seems to be empty. But then Diego sees a mysterious figure, sort of leaving the building. He follows him. Five keeps looking around inside, and then we see on a blackboard the word Pogo, and I'm like, oh, holy shit, baby Pogo. And it's like just a young chimp, not human, not at all Pogo-like. He has not gone to butler school yet. And he's just there. And I'm guessing this is a mistake Five makes. He gets down low on the same level as Pogo and he goes right up to him. Maybe should he have stayed looking big? Maybe because he knew it was Pogo. I guess he was assuming he could communicate with him like it was Pogo because he knows Pogo.
Yeah, maybe.
But anyway, Pogo takes a swing at him and I think he takes a chunk of Five's ear out, maybe. Or it looks like, really? I don't know about that, but it looked like he made him bleed on the side of the face. And then he starts yelling at Diego, but it's too late because Diego's caught up with the man outside, and that man is one eccentric billionaire, only younger. It is Sir Reggie, baby. Reggie Hargreaves.
Yes. Yep.
And they have a full-on fight.
Yeah.
It's a real good fight. They're doing a lot of spins and stuff, flips.
Yeah. But I mean, Diego suspects that it's Sir Reggie, but it's not until, you know, a particular moment in this fight, because it's dark, of course. There's a particular moment where he sort of pauses, he sees his dad's face, and he's sort of like taken aback. And at that moment, Sir Reggie stabs him in the gut.
Looks like some sort of a corkscrew kind of weapon.
Yeah, it might be like a
leather
weapon
or something
like that.
And he twists it into him. It looks like it's specific for jabbing and stabbing, but it's, I don't know what it is. But anyway, and he says, amateur, to Diego, like, you let your guard down for a second. Hey, did you not hear me say dad? What's so amateur about realizing you're fighting your dad halfway through an epic street fight?
And what does Sir Reggie think this is? Like, maybe he thinks that he's like an operative from the commission or something. Obviously, Sir Reggie's involved in all this sort of mystical stuff, otherworldly stuff. So maybe he's used to being chased down
just
and
another guy coming for
you know, assassinated or whatever. Yeah. So,
what a big end. And so Diego's down. He looks like he's dying on the ground. And is that how it ends?
Yeah. It just leaves him for dead. Yeah.
I guess as far as he knows, he doesn't have a son in 60 years' time. No. Well, not 60 years' time, in about 35 years' time.
Yes. Mm. 89, 36 yeah.
36 years' time. Yeah, so, geez, it was a big final scene. Great to see Pogo back. Interesting how much we'll see of Pogo.
He's not dead after all.
It'd be interesting how much of Pogo we see.
Yeah, because he's not... I wonder if we see his origin story through this season. I wonder when it is that he becomes sentient. I don't know if apes are already sentient.
Yeah, I Googled sentient before. It's the quality...
I only know the Star Trek episode Measure of a Man.
Everything you know about everything is from Star Trek. According to dictionary.cambridge.org, it says it's the quality of being able to experience feelings.
Yeah. Really?
And it sounds like some people contend whether or not animals feel have full sentience or not.
Yeah, it's not a hard and fast rule.
So I think
I thought it was around self-awareness, like sort of having a consciousness and... That's interesting.
Yes.
Like, my dog definitely feels hungry sometimes.
Right. Is hunger a feeling?
And probably sad when we leave. I think hunger's... Maybe that's more of a physiological thing. But if you feel sad when we leave...
Oh, yeah.
Or happy when we play with the dog, these are feelings. Is a dog sentient? Maybe that means a dog
is
sentient.
Well, I'm guessing that animal welfare people want to argue that they are, so that... people have to be less cruel to animals, and then probably people who use animals more for meat and labor probably go, nah, they're not sentient. They're all right.
Yeah, people talk about how smart animals some animals are. It's like dolphins, you can't be mean to them. They're smart. You know how smart a dolphin is? It's fucking smarter than you.
They're the only other animal that has sexual pleasure, they say. I used to say that. That's what my friend who fucks dolphins told me.
Can dolphins give consent?
No, certainly not. I think, do not. I shouldn't be making light of fucking animals. Don't fuck animals. In fact, if you're fucking animals, this is not the podcast for you. Stop listening right now. What a great, huge end to that episode. Not necessarily this one. This has been quite a weird ending to this episode, but. That was huge. Yeah. Oh, and the cool thing we didn't talk about is so they set Pogo sort of slashes at 5 and Hargreaves takes down Diego. And as Hargreaves is walking off, then Pogo jumps out a window, maybe smashes through a window, and then they both walk off into the night like a couple of fucking badasses. it's a pretty sick end.
Yeah.
Yeah, so good ep, that one. Another cracker. We got a short amount of time before we got to wrap up to get some feedback. I'm a little bit behind on some of these. This one dates to weeks ago. This is from Ashley Dickinson from Bradford in West Yorkshire. And Ashley writes, I'm sorry, Matt. I don't really think monkeys should fuck off. Wait. I'm sorry, Matt. I don't really think monkeys should fuck off. I think this has got to be in relation to a previous message, I reckon.
Probably. you probably said something like monkeys can fuck
maybe,
off.
Okay. I reckon that is exactly what's happened here. Yeah. Last time.
Is there more to the message or is that
Ashley
it?
Last time Ashley got in touch, said monkeys should fuck off. So anyway, and I might not have taken too kindly to that perhaps. But anyway, on this message, Ashley says, I'm sorry, Matt, I don't really think monkeys should fuck off. But the lack of them in Umbrella Academy is a plus. I binge watched both seasons when I found out you guys were returning. Also, I'm frequently misgendered male, but I forgive you, Evan, because team human. Oh, so you might have been, you were calling Ashley a man last night.
I might have assumed, yeah.
Well,
it is one of those names. Like Evan.
Oh, yeah.
Can be a male or female name.
there you go. I didn't know that about it.
Yeah, like Evan Rachel Wood from Westworld.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I wasn't aware of.
Plays Dolores.
I did not. I reckon that's the only female Evan I might know.
Yeah.
This message comes from Siraj from Humble Pieville.
Hey, Siraj.
That's a bit of foreshadowing there. If he's from Humble Pieville, did we wreck him last time he got in contact? Let's find out. Hi there. Had a great time listening to this run and already looking forward to season two. Or is it three? Good question. I think we're still calling it season two, aren't we? I'm also working my way through season one at the same time. I would like to apologize to Evan for a recent post depicting a robot. Having listened to the Toy Story episodes, Evan is clearly the humanist of this podcast. I was gaslighted by Matt Heart of Ice Stewart, but that's no excuse. P.S. Have you watched Dark? It's another great show with time travel, but sadly no non-human primates. I haven't even heard of Dark, but I love time travel shows.
No, neither have I. Yeah, I love a bit of time travel stuff.
I'm keen to look that up. Yeah, I do. So, I mean, people who aren't aware, I do give Evan a bit of grief for his robot-like emotions at times. I'm not fully sure that Evan has gained sentience.
Look, I don't mind. People say I'm a robot. All right, fine.
What a robotic response to that. You take emotion out of a lot of things. That's why I come to you for advice a lot, because you can take. I'm all emotion, and you're emotionless. Together, we make one person.
Great. Yeah, I'm not an overly emotional person. I think it's fine to say that.
I think that's why we're pretty good working together. Not necessarily. I'm not suggesting we work well on this podcast. I have no idea. But in general, like when we do stuff at Stupid Old, I do feel like you do balance me out. And I feel like I'm able to open your eyes to things sometimes, like, you know, the beauty and love and feelings.
Yeah.
And then you can help me like do arithmetic and...
But the bad thing is I'm no good at arithmetic.
but you're very good at, what do you call those, the computer things? Algorithms. You're all about those algorithms.
What? Sure. All right.
and lenses. Which lens to choose?
Oh, yeah. All about lenses. Yeah.
This next one's from Andrew Swan. And Andrew writes, can you call the podcast the Primates Academy? For fun, to differentiate it from the regular Primates episodes. Hey, if I remember, whenever I get an opportunity, I will refer to it as the Primates Academy. Evan, how are you enjoying the Primates Academy?
It's good.
See, we just used it in a sentence then, Andrew, so that's pretty good.
That's it. It's canon. All right,
now. I've jumped into, we're now into messages from October, so I'm only two and a bit weeks out of date now.
Okay.
Maybe I'll do one more of these, and then we've got a couple that are specific to this week's episode. So this one comes from Mary Lee or Mari Lee from Namibia, commuting between Otjiwarongo and Okahandja, more specifically. Sorry, Mari Lee, if I butchered those. People who listen to podcasts I host will know that you just have to listen to this episode. I've mispronounced names I've known well for a while, like Claus and Klaus. Hargreaves and Hargreaves, I suck. That's great. Yeah. That's so cool. We got a listener from Namibia. Hi, guys. Really enjoying the pod. Silent supporter for a while now. Got read out on a Do Go On episode. I struggled to re-listen to because of gag reflex. Oh, the Terraria episode, which is about this guy who would eat anything. And it was a pretty gross episode.
Okay.
I think that's fair enough.
That makes me want to listen to it.
Anyway, I have a theory that if they were named in order of powers, it was done backwards. Mainly because, like you've mentioned, Luther is just Strong Boy and Diego is just Knife Boy. And maybe Underwater Boy. That's a great name for a superhero, Underwater Boy.
Underwater Boy, yeah. I lose track of the numbers. I know their names, but not the numbers. But so she's saying that they're the lower numbers are less powerful, and the higher numbers are more powerful.
Yes,
is that what she's
right.
saying?
And so yeah, she
with Vanya being number 7.
Yeah. So they've gone through the order here. It says skip the next bit. If you want to make your own theory without my extra hullabaloo. So 7, Vanya, no arguments because it's kind of obvious. Super powerful. 6, Ben. Yep. Haven't seen full power really, but giant sea monster Vestibule sounds more dangerous powerful than Knife Boy. Yes.
Pretty powerful.
5,
yeah.
Teleportation and time travel. Way more impressive than Bruce's strength, in my opinion. Klaus. Yep. I'm reading all this. That wasn't in my opinion. That was in Murray Lee's opinion. Klaus, okay. For this one, I'm remembering Hargreaves mentioned a lot more potential with Ben going tangible and the potential to command armies of the dead does stump top 3, I think. Then Allison, Spanner in the works, potentially most dangerous based on how it's used. But if it's limited to one person at a time and a 5-syllable phrase, maybe it's nerfed a lot more than I think. Yeah, well, that's been shown how much it can be. Vanya trumped it easily. Because the problem with this one is you have to have a run-up to it. So you have to... You're telling people for about 3 seconds that you're about to do something to them. If you're aware of that power.
Yeah, it's interesting. Look, I think so. I think that there could be something to this
theory. There was still, obviously, Diego Knife Boy, to be fair, can bend physics around projectiles, but come on. Number 6 has a giant sea monster. And then 1, Luther, Strong Boy.
Yeah, I don't rate their powers very much. But yeah, Allison's definitely... She can, manipulate stuff by saying stuff. But, I mean, that's pretty powerful. We don't know the full extent at this stage, at least in the TV series, of what they can all do and what their limits are. But yeah, it seems like at this stage that feels like an okay theory.
Yeah, I think so.
But that also suggests that Sir Reggie knew their capabilities in advance, which maybe he did, or maybe he... There was a process of discovery. We're not really sure about that, I don't think.
Yeah, but because initially I was thinking it was in reverse order, and I think maybe the family thought that too, because Luther's always talked about as the leader. He's number 1. But it does feel like the reverse order makes more sense. Anyway, Mari Lee finishes saying, love you, hang in there. Remember, everyone from Australia to America to sub-Saharan Africa is dealing with this thing in some way. Talking about COVID-19, I'm pretty sure there. Not just season two of The Umbrella Academy.
The Umbrella Academy.
and our poor retelling of it.
We've all got to just get through it together.
P.S. Got specific with the towns I live, work in, because I thought it would be a laugh to hear you Anglophiles try to pronounce them. Hope you did. Oh, you got me. very good. Yeah, you got me a beauty there. All right. But yeah, also I'd love to be able to pronounce everything better, but especially places. Great looking names of towns. All right, let's just quickly go through the one specific to this episode now. Season 2, episode 2. So if you are unaware, you can click on the link in the show notes and put your comments in there. If they're either general, and then we'll get to them when we can. But if you're specific to an upcoming episode, put down the episode and I'll read it out on that specific episode. That makes sense. And that is exactly what Cole Bouchard did from Alberta, Canada. And Cole wrote, at 32 minutes, 15 seconds, 5... Ooh, this is very specific to this episode, I think. If you all have got it in front of you, Evan, you want to skip to 32 minutes, 15 seconds?
Oh, yeah, I might be able to cue it up. What was it, 32 and 15?
At 32 minutes, 15 seconds, 5 walks past a box of cereal on Elliot's table. The cereal is called Clever Crisp, and in the comics, it was invented by Sir Reginald Hargreaves, who perhaps you already know, founded the Umbrella Academy, which is the namesake of this show, the Umbrella Academy. Day one, which I'm pretty sure is a callback to a weird thing I accidentally said on an old Do Go On episode. I was doing a report. I can't remember what it was about, but I had this brain fade in the middle and I just said day one and it didn't relate to anything. It was a real weird moment, which I'd forgotten about until right then. Thanks for bringing back the good old times, Cole. I mentioned Do Go On a few times. People who don't know it, it's a show I do with a couple of friends, Dave and Jess, and we go into historical topics, people, you know, biographies or events, different things like that, and then we research it and read the report back to the other two. For instance, last week's episode, or this week's episode, was about Robin Williams, the actor and comedian. Last week's episode was about the Donner Party, which was an epic American journey from the 1800s or 1700s that ended pretty badly, putting it lightly. And before that was the O.J. Simpson trial. So it can be kind of about anything. But anyway, thank you so much, Cole, for that message. And the final one we'll do today comes from David Gomez in Chicago. Ah, the windy city, Chicago. And David writes, I can't, David has been, as a name, I can't hear it now without thinking Schitt's Creek. Oh my God, David.
We watch a lot of Schitt's Creek.
That pretty spot on impression.
Oh yeah.
I think that's cute on you, David.
Should have won the Emmy.
I reckon. I think that's cute on you. Is that one of the lines? I'm feeling under pressure now. Normally I'd nail those impressions. So David writes, hello, Matt and Evan. I have a few questions. First, have you noticed that Luther's hands are leathery ape hands when they're exposed, but normal human hands when he's wearing gloves? I have not noticed that.
I had not noticed that, no. He's mostly wearing gloves.
So I guess the point there is that they don't look as big with the gloves on. And when the gloves are off.
When the gloves are off.
Yeah, so maybe, I mean, maybe these are sort of gloves that really, you know, really bring you in. You know, like...
Oh, like they're tight, so tight that they're like compressing.
Yeah, maybe they're compression gloves.
That must be uncomfortable.
Or maybe when it looks like he's got ape hands, that's just him wearing different gloves that look like ape hands. Maybe. Or maybe it's just like
I wonder,
fuck up by the costume department.
Yeah, it is weird that his hands are definitely normal because his fingers are exposed.
Oh,
I was looking at the scene where he grabs the snub-nosed revolver
in the snub-nosed car.
And he's got regular hands.
That seems like a big oversight. I hope someone got fired for that blunder.
Yeah.
good one. All right. And it's almost like the IMDb goofs section is written into us directly. Second, has anyone called Diego a piece of shit yet? Whoa. Because he's number two.
What?
And that seems like the easiest joke you can make with a name like that. David, it was right there in front of us the whole time. I guess we can call Luther a piss boy as well. Is that how it works? One's piss.
Yep.
Two shit.
Yes.
Diego, you piece of shit. Not that I've noticed, but I mean, surely you grew up with a bit of that. Third, why are Allison and Raymond and all of the black people discriminated against, but Diego and Leela are not? My parents grew up Hispanic in the 60s and 70s, having to deal with racism, so I find this strange. Are we to believe, similar to the phone thing, that the world of the Umbrella Academy is one where black people are the only ones discriminated against, or is it just easier for the story to not get bogged down with these things? Yeah, right. Oh, it's interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. Maybe
it's just the bogged down thing. But they've got quite a diverse cast, and they.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of times where Diego and Leela are kind of out and about because they've had a pretty rough time of it in jail or whatever, you know, or in the asylum, yeah, perhaps, wherever they are.
Perhaps if they were white characters, like they wouldn't have been locked up for the crimes they'd supposedly committed or something.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, it's a good question.
But yeah, I don't think we've seen much of them out and about in the community.
No,
so
like it, not in, in a shop or something like that. I mean, you've seen sort of get funny looks when he's gone to the pub, but that's because of the way he's dressed, perhaps. But yeah, like, and that does feel like a something in that world of like, hey, you don't look like us. Yeah, but it's hard to know. But yeah, you're right, Evan. Diego, so far, I don't. Maybe David's writing from, he's seen a bit more of the season, but this message is specific to this episode. So maybe, yeah, maybe as we go along, we'll see whether or not they've gone that way. David's got a fourth. Is it just me, or does one of the Swedes look like a cross between Anthony Hopkins and Rutger Hauer from Blade Runner?
I don't know.
Rutger Hauer. Let me look up Rutger.
We're just doing some Googling. I mean, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I can see that for sure. The long blonde locks. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, maybe even take out the Anthony Hopkins. He's definitely got a Rutger Hauer.
Just looks like him.
Vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely, yeah. Yeah, it looks like it could be him. but like a younger version.
Four great and interesting points there, David. Thank you so much. David finishes saying, anyway, enjoy yourselves, DG. And then PG, PS. PG would have been weird. PS. On the last Q&A episode, you talked about having animal powers, and Matt said that there is probably a superhero called Animal Man. You are, in fact, correct. Animal Man is a DC Comics character.
Of course.
Which
there
I recently suggested as a topic for the show. Ah. Since a couple of the storylines from the 80s and 90s feature apes. Have you already seen that suggestion? I don't know. I just thought I might mention it here. No, I reckon I haven't seen that suggestion. That's the Primate Suggestion Hats is a wild, overgrown place that I dare not. Like, I go in there and it stresses me out. I'm going to set up the reason we're doing this season is because we're in lockdown and we still are here in Melbourne. So that was the inspiration to come back. Really, I think when we talked about doing a hiatus, we didn't think it would be for 2 months. I think we thought it was going to be for, you know, maybe forever. We had no idea. So, it was funny that, a worldwide pandemic brought the show back, but after this season, I don't know. I imagine we'll be having another break, but maybe we'll come back and do episodes sporadically.
There might be another
That's
pandemic.
True. Erica from NAPSA, the North American Primate Sanctuary Alliance, got in contact when she saw that we rebooted the show, saying she's keen to come on and do an episode. So I'm sure I'll do an episode with her as well. You've never met her, have you, Evan? You should come on that one as well.
No. Yeah, sure.
Anyway, that brings us to the end of the episode. What a fun time it has been, as always. Please get in contact if you're watching along with us. Let us know how you're finding it so far. If you've got any theories or anything like that, chuck them in the message folder machine thing below in the show notes. Oh, one thing, Evan, remember last week? I stopped reading one out because it had a spoiler vibe. That totally was a spoiler, but only from this episode. So it was a very soft spoiler. The question was, Evan, I was wondering if you started a cult like Klaus, what would be its core belief? And that was from Ali McLaughlin in Toronto.
That's tough. Probably just that I'm really great.
Okay.
That'd be probably the main thing if I was going to start a cult. Right?
Yeah.
You got to have, you know, it's like having a, you know, it's a cult of personality. It's all about being a figure, a leader.
Right.
So they've got to, if they don't believe that you're the greatest thing ever, then
what are they doing here?
Then what's the point? What are you doing? That's not a cult.
Then this isn't the podcast for you. I was going to say, and I think this just might be the basis for nearly all organized religion, and probably unorganized religion as well, but be kind to each other. No.
Oh, that's good.
That's Jerry Springer. But same idea. Only,
yeah.
And I guess if you're the head of a cult, be extra nice to me, but be kind to everyone, and just a little bit extra for me. Is that too much to ask? Maybe I'd like breakfast in bed on Sundays. That's the whole the cult. You can be in the cult, but one of you has to get up and make pancakes once a week.
Just have a roster or something.
Yeah, just have a roster. And I'll do it. I'll do it
it's
for
not
you
that
too.
Hard.
So we'll take it in turns. Cool. Yeah, good question. Ali, but you broke Evan's rule. Maybe you wrote in before Evan made the rule, but you got to give your answer as well. If you ask a question like that,
yeah.
You've got to tell us what your core belief would be.
Yeah.
Maybe it should be something like respect all primates.
Oh, yeah.
Especially the non-human ones.
But are they sentient?
Oh, and if you know what if you've got any better understanding of sentience,
I'm sure there would be some philosophies out there that people could send
yeah,
in.
Yeah, great, fantastic. All right, well, thanks so much for joining us, everybody, especially you, my second banana, Evan Munro Smith. People can find you Saturday mornings on Twitch, and the link is in the show notes, as is the link to Gamey Gamey Game, which is a video game show that's on hiatus at the moment, but we'll be coming back soon, and there's a whole back catalogue of episodes to watch for a good fun time. But as we always say here at Primates Podcast...
Respect all primates.
You got that one right at the end.
Yeah.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.